yours. The world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this? It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
Hey, you're listening to the Tortured Poets Department podcast, season 468. Episode 3. Today we're finally breaking down track 2 of the album. After spending 4 years discussing the first song, here we are. I'm joined today by the illustrious super fan of Taylor Swift, Tokyo E, who's purchased all her albums 12 times, all the vinyls. How many times have you purchased each album on vinyl?
Look, man, I'm not even gonna dive into this bit with you so that all these fucking moms be on my ass and be trying to fight me. I'm cool, dog.
Listen, shout out Taylor Swift, the biggest independent artist in the world.
She is. Is she independent?
I don't know. Is anyone? Only Russ is independent. That's what I've learned. If you call anyone else independent, he will DM you.
He will DM you and tell you, yo, nigga, that nigga's not independent. I'm independent. Oh.
It was like, yo, I made the beat, I produced it, I mixed and mastered it, I engineered it, I wrote it. I created Fruity Loops, actually, and Ableton.
I haven't heard anything about that nigga until you just said something about him right now.
Well, it's because he spends a lot of... I don't know if you know this, but in his house, in Russ's house, he has a room of, like, crystals. And he goes in there to, like, recharge when he's feeling, like, overwhelmed by society. So he's been in there for a few months.
You're being dead ass.
I'm being dead ass. He did like a house tour.
He has a room full of crystals?
Yeah, he has a room full of like white crystals. And it's not like how you're thinking where there's like crystals on like the nightstand or nothing, but there's like giant like rock formations in this room.
Oh, they got them.
It's almost like a white cave. It's been kind of nuts.
If y'all know, in the 90s, they used to have two stores that in malls that didn't make any sense. They used to have a store that was always had like a... What do they call that shit? A stuffed animal, but like an actual stuffed animal. I forgot what it's called when they do that shit.
You talking about Build-A-Bear?
Nah, nigga. I'm talking about the shit
stuffed
that they...
animal.
They kill an animal and stuff it, nigga.
Oh, the taxidermy
shit.
The taxidermy shit.
They used to have a store like that, and then they used to have a random store that would have like random artifacts in it and stuff like that. They like... Then there's a video
Brookstone.
I think there's a video where Michael Jackson went into one of them shits and just started buying a bunch of shit. It was just a bunch of like random stuff like... globes where you can put whiskey and shit in, you know, like the shit that you see
just
on
fire.
Like, shit you see in some fucking Fortune 500 company, which is like who
and in their offices,
the
yeah. Yo,
them niggas
a thousand year, 1,000 years from now, they're gonna look back into a Brookstone and think that like that was a museum of like technology. They'd be like, look at what the people had.
All niggas had in there is fucking kinetic sand that you just
facts
fuck with.
And massage chairs.
That's it, nigga.
Society was just kinetic sand and massage chairs. There was nothing
else. A $9,000 massage chair that people would just sit in and wait.
Facts.
While your mom would fucking
mad
shop.
Sweaty.
Yeah, like
mad auntie and pretzel crumbs in there too.
Yeah, nah, I'm cool, dog.
Mad platonic solids.
Shout out to Russ though. They definitely got you on that because I know you paid like 20 racks for that.
For I mean, Russ got it. You know.
So. I mean. And
he's,
they got
he's
him,
rich.
So, you know, there we go.
I think he's richer than Rick Ross, to be honest. If I was just doing
that.
Some quick math.
I don't know about that.
Do you think he gets a pension?
I mean, who? Ross?
Ross, yeah.
Pension for what? Oh, you talking about the CEO shit? I don't know. Yeah, I have no clue.
You know how funny that would be to get a pension for that?
I thought you were talking about from Wingstop, nigga. I was
about to say, what? No. I mean, he's never been behind the fryer. Let's start there. Like,
I mean,
that's what I don't like, you know, personally. Like, I need to see Peyton Manning putting the sandwich in the toaster. I need to see...
What Peyton Manning own?
Subway. He rocks with Subway, don't he?
I didn't know he rocked with Subway. I didn't know he was the new Jared.
Listen, in more ways than one.
Not like that. I don't know nothing
yeah,
about
I got to see Rick Ross behind the fryer. I got to see Pusha T make like an Arby sandwich.
I'm gonna keep it a bug with you, dog. Ross is definitely the type of nigga that you see behind the fryer, and then he's taking a wing.
But the thing is, like, if he's making it, I know that shit's about to be fire.
Facts.
I know, if I see someone that looks like him,
I know Ross is the one that'll let me get away with the lemon pepper hot. Like, yo, put a little bit of buffalo on that lemon pepper hot. Let's get it popping. Let's go.
He's gonna get you right. Yeah. He's the type of person, like, he'll, after he gives you your drink, like, he'll take a sip of it before handing it over to you. Be like, oh, yo, you got that, yo, you got that peach Fanta.
Anybody ever do that to me in life, dog, and I will unalive you, as the kids would say right now. Like, that's insane. I've never had to run into nothing like that in a little fast food spot where, like, yo, oh, like,
the kid,
let me take a fry. That's exactly why I don't order DoorDash, I'm going to tell you right now.
The kids are doing a lot, right? They're coming up with words at an insane pace that I haven't been able to keep up with it at this point. Like, they're doing too much.
Maybe their platonic solids are interlining right now.
They studied the wave conjugations, brother. I don't know what to tell you.
They're understanding about the new life flower that Terrence Howard has discovered. The flower of life. The new flower
of life. The flower of life, brother. You know, they found out where straight lines come from.
To whoever hasn't seen the video, it doesn't get what we're referencing. AB Dash just made me aware of something that Terrence Howard has now become the new Pythagorean. And he's found the new...
the equation of life, brother.
Yeah, the new way to live life. And there's no straight lines. Everything comes in waves and curves. Straight lines don't exist.
What's crazy is that's an older interview, right? Back when Empire was popping. Like, he said crazier things since then. And,
I mean, I'm telling you, I saw this nigga. I don't know why or what college had him speaking, but he was speaking at a college and he was talking about loop math. And he was like, I found loop this math. Thing, loop math, is what it's called. And I'm like, bro, like, what the fuck is Terrence Howard on right now? Like, whatever Adderall and Coke you mixing together, my nigga, like, you gotta relax, bro. Like, he also on Elon waves right now.
He's got the right ratio going because he looks very awake when he's talking crazy like that.
He's one of those people that
he's very lucid.
We gonna be like, oh, that's bullshit, right? But if you bring one of those random people from fucking Arkansas who moved to LA to become like a Hollywood star, they'll believe that shit.
Oh, easily, brother.
They got
yo, you remember
Crystals. They'll believe that shit.
Yo, you got to keep Terrence Howard away from Kyrie Irving at all costs.
That mixture would be crazy, dog.
That'd be crazy.
Russ, yo, remember, Kyrie, and Terrence Howard, that's a mixture I don't even want to see. Like, that's like when you see somebody with the most random cart at like Walmart or like your, like fucking Kroger or whatever. And I'm just like, what do you have in, like, why you got a box of condoms and a toothbrush and butter? Like, what's going on right now?
That sounds like a crazy night, brother. I don't know what you mean. Yeah, and they have the nerve to use their reward points to try and pay for it. Shout out to Kroger Rewards.
Shout out to Kroger. They got new Hawaiian bagels now. Hawaiian roll bagels.
I don't even know that we had Kroger's near us, brother, to be honest.
There's mad Kroger's, bro. There's mad Kroger's over here. There's mad Kroger's delivery services that I wouldn't have an actual
that's what I've seen. Kroger. Yeah.
Kroger, like a store yet, but I'm sure they're
making, I mean, that's just the new mattress firm. If you know, you know.
Mattress firm, I'm going to tell you like this. Mattress firms and any outside furniture patio stores are all fucking front businesses.
Especially rooms to go.
That should be empty and it's somehow open. Like, come on, dog. Like, alright.
What were we talking about?
Terrence Howard and how he's the new... he's our new link to life. That nigga might have the first Neuralink, and that shit might be malfunctioning. Now that I think about it,
that shit's actually working perfectly for him.
Or maybe he's 10 years ahead of me, dog.
He be getting the Wordle in too, like daily.
That's the thing where, like, it's something about, like, people who use big words for no reason get over on people all the time. Like, he was using a bunch of shit. It was just, like, random science words and, like, platonic solids and, like, linear movements and all that. And I was just like, all right, cool. You probably get somebody with that. But I'll just be like, Terrence, what the fuck are you talking about, nigga?
That shit will work on me. Like, in person? It's like,
I hope that shit don't work on you, dog.
You ever been to the mall?
Money, I don't want to be involved in none of this Ponzi schemes.
You ever been to the mall and, like, there's always, like, two guys who are like, yo, brother, you mind if I pray for you?
Dog. I'm gonna tell you like
that. Ever happened to you?
All love to everybody in their race or whatever. Like, whatever. That happened to me in New York with fucking Ovio Omar. I'm telling this nigga, bro, do not look at this person. They are specifically trying to do something and talk to somebody. You see nobody trying to be around this person. This nigga looked at them, They walk right over and they're like, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, nigga?" For like 15 minutes, they prayed while we was waiting for the train, dog. Like, I understand sometimes why New Yorkers be pushing niggas on the track. Because, like, I was ready to get the fuck up out of there.
I would have lost my mind.
Dog, there's no way.
All right, don't say that now.
There's no way, dog. Fuck that shit.
Apparently, that's happened a lot more now, right? They stay pushing people on the tracks lately.
Yeah, I think they got, like, a specific thing now to, like, you know.
I mean, that feels like a really unreliable because the train's never on time.
The facts.
So if you wanted to kill somebody, like, you could do it.
You gotta time that shit perfect.
Yeah. You gotta see that shit coming. Plus, like,
if you have Broadway Junction, that's a long time to want to kill somebody, nigga. That's, that's an hour, 45 minutes to want to kill somebody at 5 o'clock, bro. Like,
and, like, it costs $275 the train now, don't it?
Yeah, I think it's $275 now. It'll be $3 by the time we go back to New York.
You paying for you and for the dude you about to kill. That's commitment. Like this, dog.
Nothing more annoying than being at Broadway Junction and you got bags and shit and everybody looking at your bags. And like, especially if you got food. Because I used to bring food back from the city from, like, what is it called? The little cupcake bake shop or whatever. They make some fire. Some fire baked goods. So I used to bring it to my family.
Prince Street Pizza.
In East New York, Nacho. but niggas always like, "Yo, bro, what you got in that bag? Yo, let me get one of those." Like, nigga, like, I don't fucking know you, nigga. Like, get the fuck out of here, bro. Like, I remember that there was one time with
you're what's wrong with society.
Why? You think I'm going to give a random nigga something I just paid? Bro, like a dozen at the little cupcake bake shop is like $60, bro. I'm not giving it up to you, dog. Sorry. Yeah,
if you don't got enough to share with the train car, like, fuck, you don't have enough.
Niggas, but I remember I was with TSB once. I think we was stuck at Broadway Junction for like legitimately like an hour or for like 45 minutes. And I'm like, "Yo, I'm about to go downstairs and just order an Uber." He's like, "Nigga, you crazy?" He almost revoked my car, bro. Like, that nigga was not having it. He was like, "Ain't no way you about to go downstairs and get an Uber, dog. We already paid the $275 to get up here."
You would have broke his heart if you got on that Uber, brother.
He would have been so disappointed at me because I didn't want to take a dollar cab to fucking, a dollar bus to fucking, to Queens. Like, bro, Queens, I'm sorry. Y'all need to do something about y'all fucking public transportation. Yeah, worst borough to get around anywhere.
That shit is kind of crazy. And when he first told me about it, I thought it was, like, an official, like, government thing. It's literally just some guy. It's a group of guys with vans.
Yeah. It's a dollar van.
I was like, oh. Hey,
you think I'm about to hop in this shit with fucking 80 Somalian niggas and a bunch of Pakistani niggas in here like I'm in India? Nah, hell no, dog. I'm gonna take this Uber, pay $30, and get to your crib directly there, nigga.
Yo, shout out all my migrants, you know. Keep killing it out there.
I don't have to fucking walk 10 blocks after taking a dollar van too, and the dollar van only come around like a certain amount of times a day. Like, fuck that, bro. I'm
cool. Yo, if you a migrant, send a dollar request to the Teletalk Cash App. It's just $Teletalk, and I got you, bro.
You about to get mad requests of people who listen to this shit now.
Nah, for all my migrants out there, like, I rock with you. I know Eric Adams is not holding it down, but listen, I got a few ideas of how we can get the shit popping. It's physical labor and it involves swords, but hit me up.
Now let's make a verse for the Swifties.
You better make it witty.
You're doing so much splish, your pants might rip. All right, let's get to it.
This people don't like that bar.
That bar is terrible. Like, if
you think so?
It, like,
you think
I it's get, terrible? I get the double entendre of, like, oh, you doing splits with you got to do so much splits with Top and all these other shits. But, like, why are you going to say you doing so much splits, your pants might rip? That's like some nursery rhyme shit, dog.
But listen, sometimes you just got to keep it simple.
Let's get to it. This is what the people want to. This is what the people want to know. Over the weekend, Drake finally dropped, even though he didn't drop on the day that we waited for him to drop to.
No, I think he dropped like the Saturday. Day after. Yeah.
He dropped Saturday, right? He dropped Push Ups. It came out as what people were deeming to be an AI version of it. Cause it
I'm getting so official. Sick of that.
We'll get to that too. The first version of it sounded terrible. Like, the mixing was terrible on that shit. It didn't hit as hard because of the beats. Pause. Because the beat didn't, you know, come off as well. People are speculating that he did that shit to see if people thought that it was going to be hard.
And yeah, then he changed a few lines on there. He changed some, like, a few Diddy lines. References.
Yeah, there was a Diddy reference towards Ross. Then it finally, I guess, Drake finally reached out to Academics. Why Academics is now
he's the guy now.
The middle of this, you know what it is? Now? Like, why he the Funk Flex in 2024? I don't know. But Drake gave it to him. Ag reacted to it as he would. He's the biggest Drake fan in the world. And then we all got it. Now we're here to speak about it. Push, bro, it's because
Twitch is the new radio.
It is.
That's what it is.
I will agree on that.
I can't wait for Kendrick to give his record to Kai Cenat.
Start the Twitch war between Kai Cenat and Ak. Push-ups, drop. Amy Dash, what did you think about Push-ups? I thought the beat was hard. I'll say that.
I like the song, actually. Like, I think he did a good job of addressing everyone who's had words for him. I kind of like that because it's sort of like, I'm addressing you, but my main shit is with Kendrick, and he got to that. The bars he gave Ross is like, haha, you're fat. The bars he gave The Weeknd, it was like, you're not even from Toronto. You're like Ethiopian or something, or whatever he said. Yeah. Metro, shut up, make some drums. Funny.
Funny is funny. Part of the song.
Yeah,
funny.
Funny
part of the song.
Right.
Yeah.
But everything you have to say about Kendrick. It was sort of like,
it was too playful for me.
It was a little playful. Yeah, I don't think playful. And I kind of like that, and I dislike that, because Kendrick doesn't like him, and we know that. And there's rumors that there's nukes on both sides, boom, boom, boom. But if you know that, and you have your quote-unquote red button, I would assume that, like, you would take this a little more seriously and a little less trolly, even though it is just like there's no like physical beef between them, right? Yeah. They're not gonna go beat each other up if they see each other. It's like with the approach that Ross took, he's just like trolling him. And I think Drake is just trying to just troll Kendrick a little bit, but Kendrick is actually mad.
But this is the thing too, and I've seen people point this out as well. It's just like, there's a lot of talking coming from Drake, like a lot. He's really heavy on Instagram. He's really heavy on like dropping memes and sending drums to Magic City for Metro and all that stuff. While Kendrick is quiet the entire time. And then like, you feel me? Like, I feel like he's trying to evoke a meme war with Kendrick, and Kendrick's not that guy.
He's not gonna fall for it. Yeah. Like, you have your memes, your trolls, you have your chat bots that are in your comments and they're on the Twitter replies. You have Ak saying, "Oh, day five, no Kendrick response." Like, but if we're just gonna I think the beef, that's for like the fans of the people and not the fans of the music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because a Drake fan is going to say no matter what.
They'll say regardless.
Won. Yeah. And like, I would say the same thing for Kendrick. For Kendrick fans, but But the thing with Kendrick is that along with his own fans, he has Drake haters.
Facts.
That don't really, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, they might not really rock with Kendrick's music. They might think it's like not all that. But their disdain for Drake makes them on his side. As opposed with, like, people on Drake's side, they just love Drake.
Yeah, I'll say this about the diss. The beat was hard. I'll say that really.
I like the switch too at the end. I like the
cadence that he had, like, specific. I wish he would have done more of this throughout the song, where he was like, "I'm out in Tokyo because I'm big in Japan." Like, I like the cadence that he had with that shit. The little gimmicky, like, How you big stepping with a size 7 men's on? Like, okay, cool. Like, he's short. Like, that's fine. Whatever. You feel me? But like, that's like Twitter bitches like, "Oh, he's not even 6 foot" type shit. You feel me? Like, that's how I take that stuff up. The drop.
I mean, this is a girl record.
Yeah, the drop and give me 50 shit was good though. Like, cause I understand the way that he was looking at it. It's like, I gotta respond to this in a way that it's gonna play a lot. And maybe take like that off of the number one, because that'd be the big, "Oh, I took y'all niggas number one record, and I became number one because I give you niggas number ones" type shit. But it looks like that's going to be number one for the next week as well.
Yeah. So a whole month.
Almost. Yeah. So like, whatever. And the only person that ever done that beforehand was 3 weeks was the biggest hip hop shit, and it was Drake, and then now it's Kendrick and these niggas that with the beef that they had. I think that he was just out a lot at like Booby Trap and whatever Houston places that he goes to as well. And he's like, oh, like, I'm going to have to hear this record all summer. And it's kind of like the approach that Drake did with the Meek shit.
Yeah. Where, like, he wants something to go out there and match it.
You want something to go out there and match it. I get that approach of the shit. But, like, I get it. I get this. This was, like, more for the act type dudes and then the bitches. Where, like...
I agree, yeah.
This is going to go up in the club and, like, the job and give me 50 shit, bitch is going to shake their ass to it and then, like, try to make... Like, he's just trying to get something to girls to make reels and TikToks to because, like, that is that right now. Everybody's just putting that on, like, whatever they're doing, cooking.
That shit is playing everywhere. Yeah,
it's everywhere, right? So, like, I think he's trying to, like, numb that response. But, like, even, like, you ain't the big three. SZA got you wiped down. Travis got you wiped down. Savage got you wiped down. Like, okay, nigga, like, what are we talking about here? Like, I think you're more capable here. And
you got to be delusional to think that also.
Yeah. The thing is about this is, like, maybe the song isn't serious because he doesn't take Kendrick serious. Because, like, with Pusha, you didn't come out with this energy at all. Like, you came out wanting to rap on some rap shit, and I think Kendrick is going to come out wanting to rap on some rap shit, too. And then that's why somebody who wasn't even the focal point of this beef has now become, like, the winner of the beef as of now. Like, Ross dropped this Champagne Moment shit, classic Ross shit. He's going to have a great beat on it. Ross was just rapping. He didn't really approach the Drake shit that much, except, like, he was saying, like, where he was talking in Drake's voice where he's like, I got more money than you. And then he was like, what you want me to say? I got a $50 million crib. Where you want me to stay? Like, that was a good approach of Ross taking away that voice of Drake just being like, you know, the shit that he said at the end of this record where he was like, your number's not close. Your money not close. It's not even fucking close. Like, whatever. You take that approach away from him where he's like, yo, we both got money. And then Drake just continues to try to push that angle on Ross where he's like, look, your mansion is sandwiched in between two other mansions. You don't even own the lot next to him. Like, yeah, bro, you know what you just said? That his mansion was 40,000 square feet?
That's facts. Like... Bro said he lives in a content mansion.
A content creator crib in Miami. Yeah. Dog, that is 20... That is like 33,000 more feet than most people's houses. Like, what are we talking
bro,
about?
Bro, if we're keeping it real, it's 39,000 more feet than
most people. I mean, I'm going to give some people the benefit of the doubt, right? But this is the thing where it's just like, I think his little meme approach of how he was doing it with Meek is kind of losing right now because I feel like Ross...
Yeah, it's not going to work against Ross, and it's definitely not going to work against Kendrick.
The first thing that I said is, like, Ross is the wrong nigga to beef with. And I'm going to say this to people who, like, may not be aware of something like this. Like, you don't really want to beef with a nigga from Florida. Like, especially a nigga from Miami. Like, them niggas are professional clowners. Like, they gonna clown anything. They'll clown the best shit that you have. They're like, oh, this nigga driving a Bentley. Like, you feel me? Like, they'll clown whatever, right? And Ross is one of those niggas that doesn't stop. So, like, that BBL Drizzy shit is what niggas is calling
them right
now.
That's pretty funny. Yeah,
you feel me? And white boy, that's what niggas is calling you right now, especially in a city that you are, like, you frequent a lot in Miami, right? And then, like, the shit where he talked about his nose and how he got a nose job, and then what AB Dash has been saying for so long is that he got an ab job. Like, this is what I'm saying. I don't think Drake is funny on that level, like what Ross said, like, how you 25% body fat with abs? And that shit, that was funny as hell. That he said, because, like, bro, like, Ross is also a fat nigga telling you this. Like, he I know what it's like to have roles. Like, it's cool, you feel me? Like, but Ross is one of those people that I feel like,
I like the Ross song is good. Like, it's a good song.
Like, Ross is not going to make bad music. And then that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, if I'm Drake, I'm not even responding to him. I like what Drake did here, and he responds to everybody, whatever. But, like, there's one person that your focal point should be on this beat, but I know why you had to do that shit. Like, if I'm Drake, I don't respond back to Ross. Like, for what?
No, I would leave it there.
You leave that alone.
You just sub him for the rest of your four-album commitment or whatever you have.
You leave that shit alone and you follow Kendrick. If I'm Kendrick, too, I'm like, nigga, fuck all these niggas. Nigga, it's me and you. I don't give a fuck about you beefing with none of these other niggas besides me. But I thought the record was cool. I thought he was pointing out a lot of shit. Like, we spoke pre-pod, like... He was doing the Eminem thing where he's pointing out a lot of shit that people come at him for. And, like, y'all view Kendrick as, like, this artsy guy where he was like, Maroon 5 need a verse. You better make it witty. Then witty. It's, you know,
we Taylor need a verse Swift, for
the
yeah.
Swifties or whatever. And it's, like, cool. Because, like, you know, you've known to be the pop guy or whatever and all this shit. Like, but I feel like a lot of that stuff that he was saying as far as, like, oh, like, you niggas not even close. I'm, like, I'm the biggest shit in the world or whatever. Like, Kendrick had the biggest rap tour before you came and took it over, obviously. But, like, saying it's not close is, like, I get it. Like, it's braggadocious or whatever. But, like,
and he had to add Kendrick is extra shows at the end to do that.
Kendrick is the closest. So, like, you feel me? Like, I'm interested in how this goes. I saw that at the end he had the, you know, the switch up that AB Dash was talking about where he was doing the I really was trying to keep it PG and the beat switch and all that shit, insinuating that he has something in the tuck, which, according to people that are close to Drake, a.k.a. OVO Mall, there's a nuke
out yeah, there. He's mentioned the nuke a few times, and he's probably leaked... little hints about it as well. Like, they did the Push-Up reference, like, a few days before Push-Ups came out, right? I remember seeing that. So there's probably little bits and pieces of it there.
He's
the thing, that they hinted on the Whitney and the Bodyguard line a lot. They were like, yo, Drake wasn't watching that movie.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the nuke. Like, your bodyguard was fucking your wife and you ain't do nothing about it type shit like that. But, like, if you already hinted it away, it's just like today I saw it, M. Night Shyamalan fucking trailer.
And for what?
He has some new movie called Trap or whatever, right? And they kind of give away a twist in the trailer, and I'm like, oh, you just, like, kind of killed it unless you got a twist coming after, you feel me?
Nah, so that's how I felt. His whole shit is twist, so this is gonna be,
So that's how I feel this Drake shit is, too, where it's just like, maybe you leading out with the Whitney shit, and that's where you're gonna go with it or whatever. Like, maybe you know something about... Maybe you know some information that we're not privy to, whatever. Like, because they were insinuating that they're not together anymore, and maybe that might be the reason they're not together anymore. But, like, I don't feel that, oh, your bodyguard was fucking your wife is a big enough jab, you feel me? Like, because a lot of what this are, like, who has the more information of
on
things
the other.
That people didn't know, right? And, like, that's what the push shit was. Like,
yeah, that's why I think that a lot of the whole, like, the Millie Bobby shit, you got pissed on shit. If Kendrick says that, it's not going to do a lot.
Because unless everyone he knows something else about the Millie
Bobby
shit.
It has to be
shit.
More, yeah. Right. If you take it to the next level, expose a little bit more, then it's different. But if he just sticks it with that, then I don't see that as being as big as Nuke.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like unless you know some information on Drake, it's kind of hard for Drake to lose his beef in that sense. Where, because, like, if Kendrick come out and rap the hardest shit, he drops some nostalgia shit, like when he rapped on shit and all this or whatever, you know? Like, it'll sound better, but, like, in a beef, you feel me? Like, I left the condom on the baby seat, you feel me? Like, that's what Jay was on, and then Nas was on some whole other shit, like, you feel me? Like, saying, like, Hov was gay and dick sucking lips. And shit. Like, you got.
Cockafella Records.
Yeah, Cockafella Records. Like, it has to be something damaging, you know? It has to be something, like, whatever. Like.
Because I think if we get to the point where it's just who's the most disrespectful, Drake's going to win because he's the most annoying.
And also, he's the one who has the more information out on him. Kendrick is the mystique guy, he is the mysterious nigga. So, like. Whenever you find out, trust me, Kendrick, and I know this the most. Whenever your business is not out on the street and people find out the smallest shit, where I'm just like,
they be so excited,
Kendrick, and I know this shit personally. It's like, oh, like, you didn't know he fucked with her like 5 years ago, and I'm just like, bro, that was 5 years ago. And y'all niggas is like talking to me about this right now. This makes no sense. Like, you feel me? So I think there's gonna be a lot more reports on that stuff, and maybe there's some top dog shit. Like I don't see TDE being like, you know, on like some super trader shit, but we've seen this happen to hip hop a lot. But like maybe Top gives him some information, maybe he has some information like that or whatever. But like, as far as now, I thought Drake's diss was cool. I think Ross beat him in that first round for sure. If you don't count,
I
like
would say that yeah.
If you don't count like that as a diss, then this is round one, and now Kendrick has the job. I do count like that as like the beginning of this. So you know, I guess you can take like that and I think it's gonna be a push ups to be the shit.
But I count like that as Kendrick showing up to the weigh in finally.
Yeah, I get that.
And I take push ups as the round one from Drake and.
But like,
I'm not mad if people are calling. Like that, yeah. But I just wouldn't put it up against push-ups personally, because it's like very, it's just a lot more direct.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like people are counting as round one, you know, whatever. But like, you don't count infrared as round. I don't count infrared as round one.
No,
that was just like, nigga, get in the ring. Let's get in the ring, and then the round one. It only lasted a round. But yeah, I thought there was some okay shit, but like. I didn't really think that this was Drake's best ability. Like I said, you're doing so much, but your pants might rip. You feel me? Like, he addressed Cole on here. Like, I don't care. I don't give a fuck what Cole say. That shit weak as fuck. Like, champagne tripping. Like, I don't really get what you're saying here. Because, like, if you really want to do the run here of, like, music, Kendrick had the run of arguably three classic albums in one run. So, like, I think discography-wise, as far as, like, hip-hop's point of view of it, his discography is better than yours. If you want to get into that, because, like, I get aside from the Drake fans or whatever, like, I don't have a dog in this race. I'm in the middle. I like both of these artists, right? So, like, in the middle, if you look at it, Kendrick has the better album. So, like, I don't think you can attack the music side of it. So, I think that's why Drake is attacking.
I don't think Drake will either.
Yeah. I mean, he tried. He said, I don't give a fuck what Cole said. That shit weak as fuck. Like, that was a little bar there. But I don't think you can attack the music side of it at all. Because, like, Kendrick has solidified the music. Like,
no, especially with Drake's
last four album run. Yeah.
Not even just last four albums, but, you know, the way he makes music. in the sense of like him having writers and all these other outside credits and that such, like, if you want to do that, you're just kind of like setting yourself up. But we know from the history that like attacking Drake from that angle doesn't work anyways.
Yeah, it's already news that has been given out, you feel me?
Metro put it out,
the Quentin Miller shit.
In fact, Metro putting out the Yachty reference tracks, it's like, who cares?
I get that, but like, you feel me? Like, if we already knew this about Drake and that's Yachty shit, and like we already said that this album sounds like Little Yachty,
yeah, like that's pretty much every time he posts a picture with someone and they're hanging out a lot, Alrighty. Like I know what's going on.
Yeah,
like,
you know what's going on.
Not for a second did I think that him and Yachty were friends.
Yeah,
that they actually liked each other.
I think that is the approach of why a lot of these people are beefing with Drake, because I think that they view Drake as a user. And I know there's been a lot of, you know, different conversations had or whatever. I know Joe was talking about how Ross had the line in his verse in his record where he was like, basically like, you eating while we driving rentals. And that was the French Montana shit where he was saying like, you didn't want to clear that shit for French. But like, when it's time for you to look good and you need niggas to hold you up, you come for verses for us. And you get different splits than we do because you have, you know, a bigger demographic of people your outreach is to, right? That like, at these labels, they're going to give you different splits. And like, then we get stuck with the crumbs. But like, we the niggas like lifting you up when nobody looking for you. You feel me? Like, you know, like the whole Khaled shit where he's like, I like what Drake likes. Like, whether you think Drake is the biggest, whether you think that helps Drake or not, that actually does help Drake, in my opinion. Because it's just like Drake is being spoken about all the time. Like, either with Khaled or even when Ross talks about him, and when they do music with Future, like, you can't, that's undeniable that like Future is like, I guess like it's almost the analogy of adding gas into a tank of a car. Yeah. And like
Future's like the Terrence Howard of this shit.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. It needs more momentum to keep it going. And I feel like that's what Ross and like Joe and all them are talking about as far as like why people might be mad at Drake or whatever, because like he plays, like Ross says, he plays the black shit when he around us, and when he's around them, it's kind of like, you know, I'm gonna be the white boy around these niggas. You feel me? So like that's where Ross's approach is, and that hasn't been the first time that has been hinted at as far as Drake. I mean, even Pusha did the shit with the blackface thing. Like, yeah. I think that was the beginning of that.
Him just saying white boy over and over again is pretty, like, it's the funniest thing. I don't know what it is.
I mean, I think that Drake also got looped into a beef that Ross has with Birdman as well, because now, like, he also tells Drake all the time, he's like, yo, how you let Birdman house go into foreclosure 2 years ago? It's like, damn.
Like, I thought that was your man.
Yeah, how y'all let BG come home and he don't got a Rolls Royce? Like, after all that nigga did for y'all, he took a 15-year bid and y'all niggas not. So he putting out shit into the light, like, that people may not be, like, looking for.
Yo, like this comment, if you never let your homie get his house foreclosed.
That's what I'm saying, like, Ross is too good at this. People forget that Ross is beefing with the best beefer. Like, he beefed with 50 for a long time. They was going back and forth for a lot of that shit. And Ross actually held his own against.
Yeah,
against
and 50 is not an easy opponent because he can get you from all angles. Yeah, he's like a relentless like troll.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Where it's just like Ross is a different. I would stick to the people who don't have the experience. Like, Drake is a rookie. Not Drake is a rookie in this year. Drake is more seasoned than Kendrick is. So, like, Drake knows how to approach this more than Kendrick would. The one thing that I'll say that Kendrick has on his side as far as being able to make a record and, like, you know, be, like, a killer approach is that he has Daylight in his camp. And I'm sure Daylight's very involved in what's about to come out. Like, if you heard any battle rap shit, like, these niggas be saying the most disrespectful shit to niggas and be going on crazy shit. So, and Daylight's.
I don't put a lot of weight on to what Daylight's up to, truthfully.
I mean, but Daylight is a good battle rapper. So, like, if I'm getting an approach from that angle, because battle rapping and rapping are two different things.
Yeah, it's different. So it's like, a whole other, like,
yeah, it's like method tone, of attack. It's like, how can I make this nigga's life look like shit and put it in the metaphors? Like, Lord of Lux and Calico, when he had that shit where he rapped about his father being in BMF and how he was just a lost nigga the whole time. And, like, basically making the whole street shit approach, like, made to look weak in that light. You know, feel me? So, like that's a really good approach to have. If I was them niggas, I would reach out to battle rappers more. For sure, because they know how to approach it from a different angle.
I can see that. Plus, like, listen, if I know we've seen a lot of memes of like how Kendrick is gonna hop on like some freeform jazz beat and be like, I don't think we're gonna get that at all. Truthfully, I think it's gonna be just straight like character assassination over just fucking like some more like damn instrumental type shit more than Butterfly.
I think if I'm Kendrick, I approach this like Pusha T, Nostalgia, the record that they had. I approach it on that type of terms. I approach it with straight like
some storytelling.
No, I'm saying like the beat and shit. Like, I'm saying like the beat, not the storytelling, the beat and the approach that he had on that record, I think is very aggressive. And I think if Kendrick comes out aggressively, it then puts a different tone on this little, you know, like, now we need a verse for the Swiftie. Like, it puts a different approach to, like, I don't give a fuck about making a hit record no more. I want to kill you right now.
It was like, you're here playing with me, but I'm going to murder you.
Yeah, it's a different approach when, you know when a fight is brewing and one nigga doesn't know the fight is about to happen.
Is that serious? Yeah, he's like, he doesn't know he's about to get hit right now.
Yeah, like, you keep joking on this nigga, but I know him. And I know that he about to knock you out. It's like one of those approach. Like, Drake obviously knows that there's a fight brewing, but like you don't know the intensity, you know. Facts. I mean, I don't know Kendrick, but like the way he hates Big Sean, I would assume he hates you in that same note. So like that's my shit. Where it's just like it could just be that situation where it's just like, oh, like you didn't even see this shit coming. But like they said, they got a nuke. The shit that I hate about these podcast niggas too is like, yeah, I've heard these records. Yeah, I keep insinuating there's a nuke and Kendrick got something, and that what Kendrick is about to put out is about to show you niggas that Kendrick isn't what y'all think he is. He's not the boogeyman that y'all think he is, and all this shit. Like, if you heard the records already, then say some shit. Like, I don't give a fuck like about any of this. Like, from Maul's point of view, he's strictly more of an OVO person than anything. He's on that team. If I knew that Kendrick had some weak shit to drop, you feel me? If I knew Kendrick had some weak shit to drop, why wouldn't I just say, like, yo, that shit that he about to drop is ass? Like, from the approach that Drake is already doing it, because they already insinuating that Drake is the AI leak thing. Like, he is putting
out responsible for the AI stuff.
The Kendrick AI leak shit. And from a tactical standpoint, that's not bad, because then that, like, kind of dilutes whatever Kendrick is going to drop unless he drops it officially. I also don't get this whole I'm not going to drop officially shit that Drake and them are doing. Like, I don't get, like, why you just now, a week later, drop it officially on streaming services. Besides, like, maybe you couldn't get a clearance, because I know there's a bunch of...
It was just a thing for... I didn't like how it came out at all.
I don't
feel the same way
leaked.
About... How about Push the Clips disc on the Louis Vuitton runway? Never, it was just played on the runway, and it was never really came out. I don't consider that a diss track then, because you're not putting it out. It's just a, like, you,
it's a sub.
It's a little sub. But I think Drake thought just having it out in the internet, being played on Axe Stream, was enough. But then we saw a lot of people saying, you have to put it out. Like, you have to be. We need to know that you stand by the shit you put out. So he puts it out, and that's why I said I wonder what they're gonna say now. It was like, oh, it's out, Kendrick. You got 46 seconds to respond.
I get that, but like, I think that approach backfired. If their approach was to test out the waters and see what it was gonna be like, and see if anybody else can say something, I think maybe the Diddy line was the tester. Genuinely, I thought maybe they were like, all right, let's see if they say something about this Diddy line. But then it kind of backfired on the approach where it's just like niggas like, yo, this sounds like AI, and it's like, no, that's actually Drake. And then they try to do the same shit to Kendrick so that, like, it's a level playing field where you have, like, Maul saying, like, I don't give a fuck what y'all say. That is Kendrick. And then a whole video comes out about how the guy who made it was like, this is how I made Kendrick's AI thing or whatever. And they're saying that, you know, Drake was behind a lot of the stuff, which if that's the technique that you want to put to, like, level up the playing field, then that's cool. But, like, I think that Kendrick shit that they dropped or whatever, the AI shit that they dropped, like, I think quite clearly with somebody who can rap at the ability that Kendrick can rap at, you could tell that shit was AI. Like, there was not any, like, real good bars there or anything like that. It was kind of like some, okay, like, what the fuck is this type shit? And it's had some random ass, like, beat that had, like, thunder in the background, and I'm just like, all right, what is this? But, like, I don't know. You know, we all know that Drake plays these memes and bot games, because, like, you know, whenever you would mention Push, whenever they mentioned Push, there would be like a bunch
of bots, a bunch of
Drake bots.
Same bullshit.
Like this. So, like, I get it. We in a different time than when Hov and Nas drop and Jada and these niggas.
It's different, like, games to play, and that Drake is a big proponent of playing the internet ones.
But the way that I see this shit is like, you know, when Jada had the battle with Fab, and then he had the battle with Dipset, and, like, they thought that Fab and Dipset would win because they have bigger records and they have big, like, I think that Kendrick should approach it on that level, where it's just like, they have bigger records, I have harder records.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that is the right approach to do it. The Jada shit where he rapping over who shot you, and these niggas thinking Jada's freestyling, and it's like, nah, nigga, that's already a verse on one of his mixtapes. But since y'all not aware of this, like, you know, I get the benefit of...
Like, let me show you.
I get the benefit of, oh, like, niggas think this off the top of the head, right? And, like, they think this is directed to this person. I think you should approach it from that nature, where it's just like, Jada just dropped the hardest shit. you drop the hardest shit and then like you keep up with some of the meme shit or whatever. I think
yeah, it's gonna be undeniable. That's why that Like That record is doing what it's doing, because it's such a just a hard record.
That's what I'm saying. I think you continue that approach. Drop hard records, like just drop records that are gonna be dope. Cause like with Kendrick, anyways, your records that went number one or whatever and made all the Billboard shit aren't traditional, you know, club records. Like, nigga, you got We Gonna Be All Right. You got fucking a track from Good Kid, Mad City. The drink record, the pull up drink record, is like
swimming pools.
This nigga's literally talking about like an addiction to alcohol, and it's like, all right, that's
like, yo, this is a fucking vibe.
This shit's fire. Like, what is this doing? Like, I think he already has that talent of putting that shit out. I am interested to see what happens after Kendrick drops, though. Like, if there's a nuke to come out, what is Drake gonna say? How is this gonna sound?
How soon is it gonna come out?
Yeah, cause the switch up on this record that Drake has is, you clearly know that this is gonna be like a harder hitting beat if that's the way he's gonna approach it. So I'm definitely interested. I think Ross is the clear winner of what's going on right now.
Ross gets a W in my book, truthfully.
He's the eighth seed who just like took out the number one seed. Like, this is gonna be the Lakers versus OKC or like Denver, where it's just like, all right, nobody saw this coming and they won. Like, you feel me? This is it. So
it's gonna be Orlando.
This is on Kendrick now. Like, we're waiting for Kendrick now to come out, and I don't think that you can play the timeline game with Kendrick when it took Drake 20 days to drop.
Right.
I think that loses all credibility now.
I think they're just trying to find something to say. Yeah. I don't think they're so confident in what they release, truthfully. I think that's what it is. I think Ack and Maul and whoever else are working as like direct pipelines, like
facts,
mouthpieces.
That's what I doubt.
I don't really believe that they're just saying stuff like, oh, I was talking to Drake and he feels like I believe that Drake is telling them, when you're on your pod and this topic comes on, this is how I feel.
Yeah. So like, I think because I did hear Maul talk about, like, he was like, oh, I'm going to leave Drake alone or whatever, but he's reaching out to me. And I was like, he's doing that tactfully, that he's reaching out to you, because he knows you're going to speak about it.
You're
going to
say shit, yeah.
So, like, good approach with Drake. Like, that's a great approach. That's having a
because
voice
you get
about
to control
using
the,
your own voice.
Yeah, you get to control the narrative about you, about saying anything. Exactly. You get to have people tuning into other spaces and be like, oh, what's he going to do?
Yeah, you think, like, Maul isn't going to talk about a text conversation, or Ack isn't going to talk about a text conversation they had with Drake. Like, that's going to bring viewership to their shit, and that's also going to be another voice, which I don't mind that approach to it. Now, I am seeing a switch up. And I want to see where you land on this right now. I kind of know, because we kind of spoke about it. We will get to the concert that we actually went to. I kind of forgot that we went to that shit.
Jeez.
What's up? You feel about the new narrative that's being approached with J. Cole, where, like, Cole saw this coming and he got out of the way, and that was kind of like a good thing to do?
No opinion on it yet. I think, from starters, I don't think Cole ever had this type of thing in him for real.
Yeah.
On any level, if we're going to see how serious he's going to get when the quote-unquote nukes drop, I don't even think he had this size foot seven men's on, dropping Give Me 50 level on him either. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about what's going on behind the scenes, if people are saying, like, this is a label thing, that this is, like, AI practice, all of this stuff, I think Cole was honest when he apologized, and that's the real him. He's a coward. He's a loser.
Hey, you already know Xavier about to go crazy.
I'm joking. I'm talking a man who only wants peace. I think it's just how he really feels about rap beef in general, and how I'm kind of tired of it already.
I do think the AI shit is nasty. I think the AI shit fucks up a lot of the beef. It dilutes a lot of the stuff. I do kind of look at Cole differently after this week. I'm not saying that, like,
I mean, what, the apology wasn't enough?
No, I'm not saying that, like, the apologies an excuse of like, now you back to normal. I think that still leaves you know, the stain and the asterisks on his rap career, as far as like, oh, when beef came, you ran type shit. But I do view it differently of taking the peaceful approach of something you didn't even want to do in the first place, or even care to do, I guess, like, or like that, like, the way that I saw somebody sum it up was like, now the next youth of hip hop sees like, oh, I don't got a beef about shit that I don't really care about, because we do know that there's a lot of beefs that are made that are strategically made just to, you know, as like rollouts and shit, you know. So I see that aspect of it, but like, don't try to get this shit off of me now, where it's just like, oh, nah, he's good now, like, he's back to being big three. Like, nah, hell no, it's not that. Like, he could be a peaceful man, go make your music and go do your shit.
Yeah, I'm not really mad at Cole anymore. It's just funny.
I think that Cole knew that this shit would die down after the week. I don't think anybody's talking about that shit. Yeah. As far as the beef go, that'll be in the back of people's minds as far as that beef.
I think him knowing that it was going to get, and there was going to be a response and everything, just allowed him to be like, you know what? This is not even about me. Let me just dip out of here. Let me save some grace of Kendrick and be like, and LA and California and Baby Keem. And let me just hop out of here.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Continuing this, me and AB Dash had the opportunity to finally go see some people that we readily speak about on this podcast very highly of. We got to go to the Benny the Butcher and
Boldy James
concert. A lot to dissect from that concert, I'll say that. Starting with the fans that they have there, I would say that we were the youngest.
Is that
fans
where you want to start?
There.
Yeah. Mad old heads there. Mad of old all heads creeds. There.
I'm going to tell you right now, I saw some of the most elite old head fans. Polo matching the New Balances with a Yankee fitted.
Backwards fitted. Like, same color. Denver Nugget jeans. And a pair of Air Maxes that haven't been seen since 04.
Watching older men figure out how to approach a room where normally when they used to go to the clubs, there used to be fights and shit like that. And you can see everybody had like the, like, this shit might pop off in him. Like, y'all niggas work in the morning. Like, y'all niggas got to be up at 5 in the morning to go cut some concrete or some shit. Like, you know it ain't nothing about to pop off concrete. In here, dog. Like, ain't nothing popping off in here. But I was more surprised by the people that I did not expect to be in that concert. There was a lot of white people in that venue.
Bro, white people love Boldy James and Griselda.
Like, a lot more. Like, there was girls there that I would say if I saw them in the street, they were more fans of, like, what's the shorty that we talked about here that one time?
Taylor Swift?
No, the Greenwich Village Queen. What was her name?
The Greenwich Village Queen. Oh, Phoebe Bridges.
I feel like there was a lot of Phoebe Bridges fans in that concert. Like, there was a few people that me and you looked at each other like, what the fuck are you doing here, bro?
Facts. Especially like, Mr. Totebag. But all in all, it was like very diverse crowd. You said facts. It and you were like, this is what rappers be talking about when they talk about who be going to their shows. Facts. I was like, hey, listen.
That's exactly who rappers talk about, where they're like, the nerdy niggas that come to my shows and don't really understand the culture and shit like that. I really saw, for the first time, I really saw that in real life. Because, like, if you go to New York, there's going to be a way more diverse crowd in general, because New York is just really diverse, right? Our city is diverse, but it's kind of segregated as far as, like, where people go and where people don't go, you know? It's like, these are white bars, these are, like, a little bit more mixed, and then, like, you got the classic white dudes that just love Spanish women and Spanish culture.
Facts.
They feel like they.
But over here, we saw stockbrokers singing West Side Gun word for word.
Like, there was a VIP of, like, what I would say a leading tech company in our city. And we talking, like, multi-millionaire niggas in there, like, sending Benny the Butcher champagne bottles. And I'm you rapping Boldy James versus word for word. And I'm like, yo, this shit is odd, isn't it? Like, this isn't what I expected in here. Like, I saw what I expected in there. There was a lot of niggas who I know from a different lifestyle in there. And a lot of familiar faces that I knew in there. You feel me? There's a couple of them that had it on them in there. You feel me? Like, I know for a fact. Bit, like, yeah. I know for a fact the niggas that we were sitting next to had it on them in there. They was looking for the issues. You feel me?
Oh, like, bro, that trio right there?
Yeah, the trio next to us that was screaming, yo, Stove God, where you at? Like, Stove God, I'm going to tell you like this. You got to come down to Florida because, like, there was a lot of niggas
we need you. Yeah.
Expecting you to be there. We need you, bud. You feel me? But it was a different experience. I will say, like, the show was great. I will tell you that one thing that the older rappers have over everybody.
Rapping sons.
Is they rap over the beat and not the track.
The track, yeah, the TV track.
It makes for a way better sound in the concert. Like, when old boys, when Boldy James Prodigy was rapping, right? He was rapping over a CD track. And, like, I couldn't understand what he was saying as much as I was understanding, like, Boldy and Benny. I will say that too, like, the way they approached the concert, like, you gotta salute them. They was putting their artists on at times where they were rapping. Like, it was their set time, and they're like, yo, like, let my man spit for 2 minutes. And it's like,
all
right, cool. Like
all that, the Black Soprano family. Yeah. I will say this, though. I thought Boldy James' voice was deeper than that.
I mean,
that shit kind of caught me off guard. I was like, yo, who's this singing, rapping along the Boldy songs?
Nah, Boldy killed it, though. I fuck with Boldy. I think we were there as, like, the biggest Boldy fans there. I feel like we knew a lot more Boldy records than most people there. But, like, there was a lot of people in there, in that venue. When Benny came out, there was definitely he had the crowd. I didn't think Benny had records to move a crowd like that. You know, when there was, like, old head mosh, like I would say. But it was good. I fuck with Benny. I fuck with Boldy. The concert was fire. I would recommend that concert to anybody. I will tell you, if you got a fit to put on for that concert,
that's the place to do it. Listen,
I'm going to tell you like this. You're going to go home smelling like a pack of Backwoods, Fronto, and Bud the whole night. These niggas, I never seen, me and AB-Dash been to a lot of concerts. And a lot of concerts where like people our age claim to be the smokers, and we had a concert.
These guys were really smoking.
I never, like, you know the feeling pause when you get in the back of your throat when you're smelling the blunt, when you're inhaling the blunt, but you're not smoking? That shit killed me that night, bro. It's been a while since I've been in, like, a quote-unquote hot box. And that was one of those shits where, like, you know, when you go to a concert and they check you at the door and taking the drugs and shit like that, they let everybody in there with...
Easy.
QPs of weed.
They were letting everybody with a fake ID in.
Facts. Like, it was a different vibe, but the concert was fire. I will say that. I think he did really well. My only complaint of the concert was I wish they had more Griselda level merch there.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing. Aside from the hats, which I didn't even inquire on the price because I knew it would be crazy. But
the tees could have been better. There could have been some other stuff that they, like, I looked to Griselda for, like, elite merch, you know, like the stuff that they did with, like, the Dominican artists, and then they've done with other artists and stuff like that. Like,
they could have at least brought some of that stuff.
You feel me? You know what I mean? Like, at least re-release some of that shit there, because, like, that means you spent money to come see me already. You feel me? So, like, that's, like, kind of like a reward for Griselda fans or whatever. But I'll stand on it. Like, Griselda is putting out some of the best product out of anybody in rap right now. Like, even live shows, to the amount of music that they're putting out and the albums they put out, Griselda's putting top five shit out here. Like, they really killing it out here, and that concert was really fire. Continuing this, we'll end this off with the 30th anniversary of Illmatic happened today, and Nas and Primo dropped the record.
You know, Lupe just shit on it, right?
I didn't see that Lupe shit on it. What did he say?
Yeah, he said that marked the he said Nas's Illmatic marked that marked like an ending point of, like, the golden era of hip hop. Lupe's been on a hate run lately.
I mean, he looking for somebody to jump out that window and just start some beef with him. The record is Define My Name.
It's with Primo,
Nas,
right?
Nas and Primo. It's a fire record. They're also coming out with an album now, a collab album with Primo and Nas, which basically Illmatic was kind of like a
Oh, yeah.
Like, so, like, this is what I've been looking for Nas. I want shit like this. I want you to do something with All Large Professor. I want you to do something with Alchemist. I want you to do something with Primo. I think they have your best interest in making, like, I like the shit that you did with Boy Wonder or whatever. Or is it Hit Boy or Boy Wonder? I was confused.
Hit Boy.
It's Hit Boy. You won your Grammys, but get to this shit. This shit is what I want to hear. This is the Nas that I want to hear. But we'll end that off here at Thought Talk Season 27, Episode 2. We out.
Peace.
Need a verse for this one.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to do a little something like this. You know what I'm saying? Stay up on this. Keep it on and on and on and on. And you know what I'm saying? Big Nas, Grand Wizard. God, what is it like? Listeners, blunt heads, fly ladies, and prisoners, Hennessy holders, and old school niggas. Then I'll be dissing the unofficials that mo woolly tie. I dropped out of coolie.